roadways is one of the big reasons why I was on this committee. They did a very nice job of opening the opportunity for businesses to have the opportunity to talk and have input on this as well. Because working for a company such as the one that I work for, where we put 250 delivery drivers out on the roads each day, as well as all of the drivers that we have that drive the large semi-trucks just out of Swan Island, the thought of hitting a pedestrian or a bike rider is something that none of our people want to ever have to deal with. The fourth and fifth area of this particular plan puts bike riders very close to traffic. And as you heard, the exhaust fumes is one thing, especially when you're riding a bike and you're working pretty hard and taking deep breaths in through those lungs. Those exhaust fumes don't treat you too well. It's going to start raining here in a couple hours, and there's a lot of leaves down. We actually give safety tips to our drivers every day, and this week we're talking about watch out for trick-or-treaters and watch out for the puddles that are going to be created by all the leaves. Bike riders sharing roadways, having to dodge puddles and vehicles, and possibly even at night, it's a pretty daunting thing for them to do. This particular pathway has an amazing north reach. The connection with nature in the northern parts is phenomenal, and there's a lot of history there as well. In the southern part, towards the city, it'll actually have kind of a different role in that it's going to provide commuters an opportunity and an option to get to work. We joined the Swan Island TMA with the help of some nudging from Lenny Anderson back in about 2000. Since then, we've seen some really good things happen as far as bus routes. Some sidewalks get improved so that bike riders don't have to be on the street fighting vehicles, as well as improved, bus kiosks and carpooling, etc. Swan Island itself has, depending on what's going on in the dry dock, anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 employees down there. It's estimated by the TMA that by 2020 we could have as many as 15,000 employees down there. That's a very nice area, city of Portland, industrial area that is extremely close to a lot of residential area, and yet separated by a beautiful bluff of about 100 feet. The revitalization of St. John's, Kenton, Piedmont, Alberta, is an attractive place for a lot of people to live. And being able to access jobs down on Swan Island is another great alternative for people. So whether they're riding their bikes from southeast Portland or just accessing down Wad Bluff or one of the trails down there, being able to get around on Swan Island without having to have a car as an extra vehicle on the road, congestion, etc., is something I think all of us want to see happen. UPS is a unique company. We were founded in 1907 by a teenager, similar to one I saw today, I think, and he relied on bicycles early on to get the job done. It was in Seattle. And through the years, we've been advocates of all kinds of different transportation.
Is that Mr. Casey?
It was, Jim Casey.
Whose name is on the eye clinic at OHSU.
Yeah, his brother kicked in some money to help us out there.
Who, thanks to Mr. Casey's generosity, restored my son's eyesight.
Excellent. Mm. Excellent. My daughter actually had some work done there as well. Mm. The Casey family was very generous through the years, and Mr. Casey was very generous in giving us foresight in showing us as a company that determined people can accomplish a lot of things. A teenager having access to a job was a big deal back then, as it always has been. And now a company with over 400,000 employees, it obviously was successful. We offer at UPS an Earn to Learn program that allows people that are interested in going to college $3,000 a year to come down and work at Brown's Gym for 3-4 hours a day, and then also have flexible schedules to be able to work in with perhaps other jobs, perhaps childcare, perhaps going to school. Right now, we're hiring about 24 people a week, and these are for permanent jobs. They'll receive benefits after a year. They get educational benefits day one. A lot of our employees move on after a year or 2 years to other jobs. And we provide Portland with a lot of people with good experience, as well as those that decide to stay at UPS and continue on. UPS made a commitment to Swan Island. About 5 years ago, we put $87 million improvement into our building, doubled its capacity, and doubled its needs for employees. We've heard also earlier today that Daimler's making a similar investment on Swan Island. And though there's still opportunities as far as the property down there, not all the places are filled up. It's great to have this resource right in the city of Portland. This particular path provides a good access to it. I do emphasize that it needs to be safe. We don't want our drivers having to deal with bike riders right next to them in the roadway late at night in the rain. So please look at, when the funding goes through for this, separating the bike riders from the traffic, making it safe for both, as well as the people that come down on the weekend to fish with their kids. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all of your work. You. We'll now hear from Metro Councilor Sam Chase, and I don't know if there's any other elected officials, and then we'll go to public testimony. Thank you for being here, Councilor Chase.
Thank you, Tad. My daughter would be upset if I didn't tell you that that person with the wavy wind blowing through their hair bike commuting, they should be wearing a helmet.
And not on 26, right?
So I mostly want to thank the council for continuing to work through the issues and move forward with the MP Greenway. And I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for introducing this and her work to continue moving this forward with all the difficult challenges that we face. I rode the project recently, and one thing I was encouraged about, and we rode the whole thing, is the only barriers to this happening are people, political will. There are no physical barriers to this project moving forward, and that's a nice part of the vision to me. This is something that it was going, you know, that is important as you think about our region, the livability of our region, having active transportation options for people. We want to protect our urban growth boundary at Metro. We want to make sure that we can live within a confined area, and having options like this that allow us to access our parks, access our river, access our natural areas is an incredible part of that livability. It opens access for, and it reduces traffic. It allows us to move cars and freight around more regularly when we're taking people off the road. We are also, with this project, able to provide opportunities and access for low-income areas and low-income communities and communities of color to access some of those natural resources. In particular, one of the projects I'm really excited about is the St. John's Prairie. Maybe we'll start calling it the St. John's Meadow, but that is one that we've worked very actively with you, Metro, or Metro's worked with Portland City Council, and Commissioner Fish identified $200,000 from the parks budget to add, and has been carried forward with Commissioner Fish to add to our application that got funded for state funds to Metro, state, city funds to build a bridge over Columbia Boulevard and provide access to the St. John's Prairie, 300 acres of open space area that is now going to be accessible to Columbia Villa, St. John's, coming straight from Columbia, or from Pier Park, Chimney Park, and you know, I saw a four-point buck there. First time I've ever seen one, and there it is in the middle of the city of Portland. So it's really an incredible place. And we wouldn't be there if we didn't have the support of Commissioner Novick as well in that funding process moving forward. And he sat on the committee that and helped shepherd that through. So really just want to say thank you. We are very committed. Metro has put a lot of resources in through bonds and flexible funds and other transportation funding to this project. We will continue to be there as a partner with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Chase. And I do believe there is a lot of political will to get this done. In accepting the report today, we're not saying that we have all the funding for it. And although we have been very entrepreneurial in going for grants and partnering with Metro, we have over $400 million worth of projects identified in parks that we don't have money for. So I want to just make that clear that this is definitely accepting the policy statement that this is what we want to see happen. I have convened neighborhood committees, and including one in North Portland, where the neighborhood associations and other interests are going to help advise on what are the priorities for spending the limited amount of money that we have. So I encourage anybody who's interested, both in this project and in other parks projects throughout the city, contact your neighborhood association and get involved in that process, because together we have some very tough decisions to make. Thank you for being here.
President Fritz, could I add a comment? Councillor, I distinctly recall at your swearing in, you explained to us, in particular to Commissioner Fish, that the way the hierarchy, governmental hierarchy goes, it's federal government, state government, metro, and then cities. And Mayor Hales has been working with Union Pacific to try to resolve some of these issues. But, you know, as the leader of an inferior government, I'm sure he has much less sway with UP than you would. So I hope that you realize that UP is much more likely to take your calls than those of anybody on the city council.
We'd appreciate your partnership. Thank
you. Thank you. And we have to tackle these piece by piece, and it's going to be a long, you know, we can't just do it all at once, but we have to keep tackling those. And we are working with that. We actually just got a really important a piece from Union Pacific, an easement to get into St. John's Prairie. Thank you.
Great.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you. With that, let's go to public testimony.
We have 13 people left who signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Lenny Anderson, Stephen McClure, and Josh Palmer. And they'll be followed by Cynthia Newton, Kurt Schneider, and Pam Arden.
Good morning. Please state your name for the record, and I am going to be holding you to 3 minutes.
My name is Lenny Anderson. Good morning, commissioners. I'm the executive director of the Swan Island Business Association. And on a personal note, I'd just like to call out that this is the home stretch for me. I'll be retiring at the end of this year. And I would kind of like to preface my comments here with a note of thanks to the bureaus that I've worked with for now almost 20 years on Swan Island, Parks, BES, Planning and Sustainability, and of course PBOT, to do a lot of work that I think has made Swan Island that much more powerful, an economic driver for our city and for our region. So a thank you there. Our work on Swan Island since we began the Swan Island TMA was really to move freight. And the way we saw freight moving was to help people not bring their cars down. And so what we're talking about really is a little simple math. The removal of two SOVs makes room for one semi. And I think we've been successful in doing that. Swan Island is thriving. Freight is moving. And we feel like, as my good friend Thad Collins says, we have capacity for 15,000 jobs on Swan Island, and we're making a start. We know Daimler is going forward, and we know that the shipyards is going forward, and we want to increase those jobs. We need to continue to improve access for people who choose not to drive, and that's where this project becomes absolutely critical. And the vision that was invoked earlier this morning needs to be called forth in a way that makes us really stand firm and say, we must have a facility here that no one can be afraid of using. And I want to say that for the years I've been down there, the Ash Grove Cement Road has been there. It's there. It's now. It's built. You can ride your bike safely from Daimler Trucks North America to the Broadway Bridge. The only problem is we don't have permission to ride on that beautiful pavement. And I know for a fact, and you'll hear more, that many people who work at Daimler and other places write it nevertheless. So what I'm calling for today, and I won't get into specifics because my time's running out, but is basically backbone. And I don't fault staff, because staff pulled off a good, they got 4 out of 5 right now. Mr. Ortiz for the Red Sox did that, he would be one happy guy. So let's give them a round of applause for a great job. But number five is not acceptable. And number five must not be accepted by you or by the community. We're not going to push people up onto Greeley Avenue. We're going to work, and you're going to work, to make the Ash Grove Cement Road, and we're going to rename it the North River Road Extension, and it's going to be multimodal, and it's going to improve access to Swan Island for Daimler and for UPS and for the people who need a safe way. So please, as we go forward with this, I know the answer from the railroad is no, 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 but I know the answer, the response from the people of Portland as your and you as their representatives must be yes, yes, yes.
Thank you. Thank you for all of your service and your testimony. McClure?
I think you're next.
Okay, well, I'm Dr. Stephen McClure. I'm on the board of the Oregon chapter of the Lewis and Clark Trail Heritage Foundation, and also on the board of the Friends of Baltimore Woods. And the clerk is presenting a map I did to show the route of William Clark in Portland. Portland has one campsite associated with the expedition of 1803 to 1806, and it's along the North Portland Greenway. To give a federal, national perspective to the matter. I determined with focused map work and close reading of the journals exactly where Clark camped. It's a dirty job, but somebody had to do it. Mm-hmm. And it is adjacent to the point on the North Portland Greenway where we're looking for the right-of-way easement on the Crown property. I think it's fitting that the name of the property is a Crown property because that point is the crown jewel of the whole North Portland Greenway. It's the site where William Clark and eight other men slept in 1806. And my research, just to keep it short, is that the trip to the Willamette River was not just a side trip. It was a major part of accomplishing their mission. And we really want to acquire this one particular parcel that will be adjacent to the Toyota offloading dock, which is where the campsite formerly was. And that's behind the Crown property. It's a 10-acre woods, as is commonly called now. And I just want to impress on you the national import of that matter. Thank you.
Thank you, and good morning. My name is Josh Palmer. I'm the director of Project NOVA at Daimler Trucks North America, obviously headquartered out in Swan Island. I assume all of you are aware of the commitment that my company is making to Swan Island and to Portland. We recently announced our intentions to put about $150 million in total investment into a new corporate headquarters facility on Swan Island along the Willamette River. We are extremely excited about that. We're not going to put a pick in the ground until sometime next year, but nonetheless, I think there's a lot of enthusiasm within our company and hopefully within the community, because I think this is really a win-win situation. I think it's one of the best-kept secrets in Portland how many people actually work on Swan Island, how many people work for our company on Swan Island. Right now, we've got in the order of about 2,000 people between our white-collar folks and our existing headquarters buildings and our Western Star plant on the island. By the time we're done with our project and occupy what will be one of three headquarters buildings on Swan Island, we'll probably have in excess of 3,000 people at some point in 2016. So, of course, we have a very vested interest in seeing what's going on with the Greenway Trail, both in segments 4 and 5 in particular. As you may know, and although I'll be in front of you, I think, again in a few weeks to tell you a little more about the project, between DTNA, the port, and with the state's help, we're going to be putting in excess of $1 million into the Greenway Trail that runs contiguously, or runs contiguous to our campus on Swan Island. And we'll be essentially mending what's now a broken trail. If you've been on that portion of the trail, there's two pieces, and it's sort of interrupted by this sprawling ports of call facility, which will be in the ground once we start our project. And so that's really going to be a wonderful trail. If with the city's approval, we'll add a couple really nice viewpoints right there out in the river. But the reality is it's still going to be really sort of an orphan trail. Because right now, as you walk down the trail towards the downtown, you sort of come to a screeching halt with a nice chain link fence, which sort of demarcates where Albina Yard starts. So, I think again, we strongly encourage the commissioners to, again, and I realize there's been a lot of good work done in this trail to this point, and this is really exciting. But I think, if you think about what this could be with a trail through Albina Yard and ideally along Cement Road in terms of really capitalizing on the Willamette River there, I mean, this could really be a fantastic trail, not just selfishly for DTNA and its employees, but for really for the whole community. And to me, it's really the difference between having a functional trail, which I think the Greeley plan might give us, versus something really memorable, something that's really going to distinguish and differentiate Portland and make it an even greater city than it already is. And just a couple quick comments on the, not to be a critic here, because I realize there's been a lot of good work that's gone into this.
To finish up,
okay. But I think, as has already been alluded to, there's a lot of truck traffic. We're a truck manufacturer. We like trucks. We like cars. We're part of Daimler. But at the same time, a fully loaded 80,000-pound tractor-trailer combination going easily 50 to 60 miles per hour along that stretch, even with a path that's taken somewhat off the road, there, I think there are some real issues there as far as the usability of that. And I think if you can find the trail through the Albina Yard, it's going to dramatically improve the usability of that trail.
So we will appreciate your assistance talking with your neighbors about getting them started.
Absolutely. That was my last line here, so thank you. We'd love to give as much support as we can to trying to make that happen, and we're more than willing to do that. So.
Thank you.
Can I just observe with our friends from Daimler here that we want to thank you for the support you've given to so many community activities over the years and your sponsorship of events. And also, you know, while Portlandia gets all the ink, I think we ought to acknowledge that next year the Western Star, which is the pride of your fleet and which is manufactured here, will be the star of the next Transformers blockbuster, as has been selected as Optimus Prime for that show. So we're very proud that our own Western Star will be on the big screen as Optimus Prime in the upcoming Transformers. As exciting as that is even more exciting for my 9-year-old son. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here. Next three, please.
Are Cynthia Newton, Kurt Schneider, and Pam Arden, and they'll be followed by Sarah Angel, Jim Kuffner, and Barbara Quinn.
Good morning. Please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Cynthia Newton. I'm a partner at the law firm Swanson Thomas Kuhn & Newton. I represent injured cyclists and pedestrians in the city. And as a result of that work, I become a cycling commuter and pedestrian advocate. I'm here today to address Segment 5 and the inclusion of Greeley and Interstate in that segment, and to urge that that portion be removed and that a riverfront route be taken instead. As part of my work, I give bicycling safety clinics, and I recently gave one at Daimler's facility. And in preparation for that, I rode the route from downtown out to Swan Island, across the Steel Bridge, up Interstate, up Greeley, and down going to the island. And I have to say, it was a sobering experience. When I went back to my office to finish my preparation for my clinic, I changed the title of it to The Intrepid Swan Island Bicycling Commuter, because it was clear to me that no one other than a very intrepid cyclist would take that route. That route is a feasible route, but it is a route fraught with safety concerns, including trucks, large and small, UPS small trucks, Daimler larger trucks, Garda trucks, traveling at very high speeds along a road. The lanes are narrow, the bicycle lanes are narrow, and they're often, as was mentioned, blocked with either debris or water or even obstacles such as vehicles. There are many opportunities for left turn collisions, right hooks, and other very dangerous accidents, and we have actually been involved in representing several people seriously injured in that corridor. After that, I learned about the Greenway Project, and I was very excited about it, and I think this is an incredible opportunity for the city, and I can feel the energy in the room around the excitement of getting this done. And it seems to me the public comments that you have in your proposal are clear that no one really wants the Greeley Interstate route if it can at all be avoided. I realize that to do that, it's going to be important to co-opt additional businesses beyond Fabulous UPS and Daimler, who have already gotten on board, and that is the railroad. I have worked for a railroad. I understand their safety and liability concerns, and I'm sensitive to those. But I hope that we will reach out to the railroad so that we can include the riverfront route, so that we can make, as we were inspired to at the beginning of today's meeting by people who have gone before us, to leave a legacy, to make a first-class route, and to make something that all Portlanders can use, whether they're commuters or children or families or older people, a route that we can really, really be proud of and something that we can leave as an amazing legacy in our city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity to be here today to talk about this fantastic possibility for Portland. I'm Kurt Schneider. I'm the quote-unquote other co-chair for NP Greenway. I'm not going to echo the wonderful comments that we've heard earlier. I would just like to give you a couple of figures. The preferred route is the cement road. Please exclude it from your resolution. There is currently an alternative that is being used, and that is going up to Concord, the bridge there, which eventually leads to interstate. We don't need to put any money into an interim facility such as Greeley. As you're aware, the staff and the Planning Advisory Committee held several open houses. The results of and for Segment 5, the cement road area, and it's page 76 in your report, shows that there were 114 responses received, of which 101, that's 88.6%, said, one, use the cement road. Two, keep the trail close to the river. Greeley doesn't do that. And three, plain and simple, not Greeley. Six respondents only said Greeley was okay. That's 5.3%. As Cynthia noted, everyone is aware of the need for safety. Union Pacific and future users, and it can be designed accordingly. It has been done in other areas. Your planning staff developed in 2007 a memo by Sally Edmonds that deals with specifically how trails with rails, and that's what we're talking about here, have been developed in Seattle, Burlington, Vermont. There's three in Pennsylvania. There's Minnesota, a number of other locations, let alone the two, at least two, we have here in Portland. will it be easy? No. And will it cost? Yes. But I'd note, if Eugene can afford three bridges across the Willamette River, the city of Eugene, 160,000, we should be able to build a bridge, if necessary, for the cement road. Elevate it, get it close to the river, make it a world-class vision that we implement. As I noted, We've got two bridges here. We bridged the tracks along the Springwater and now with Chimney Park to Pier Park and across Columbia Boulevard.
Thank you very much.
Could I just add a couple?
You've worked very hard on this, but please be brief.
Thank you very much. The one request I have is that there be, say, one member of the council that undertakes to lead the charge on this.
And I understand the mayor has volunteered to
okay.
do that.
Okay. And
certainly Commissioner Novick and I will be asking that okay. question.
Okay. Thank you very, very much for this opportunity.
Thank you.
And thanks for all the support.
And just to be clear, there are several segments which we have complete agreements on, and we don't have funding for those either. So we would certainly do the segments that we have the funding for where there's agreement rather than moving on something like Greeley, where obviously there's a lot
of
disagreement.
And you know we've helped.
Yes, I do
okay,
indeed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Pam?
I'm Pam Arden. I'm representing the 40-mile loop here today. I've been on that organization for almost 20 years. The 40-mile loop is over 150 miles of trails, and this segment adds another 10 miles, 10 and a half miles. We know that we have 16 gaps, now 17 gaps that need to be filled up. And this is a major accomplishment to have the North Portland Greenway Trail. When I moved here from Chicago, I was used to Chicago lakefront being accessible to folks. Parks along the waterfront, you had all kinds of activities that you could pursue there, from bike riding to walking to whatever. So I was really astounded when I came to Portland and found that there was nothing on the riverfront, that the city did not celebrate the riverfront and people using it and being close to it. So having Tomacall Waterfront Park, having the East Bank Esplanade, having the part along the south waterfront, all being developed now, it really is a terrific addition to the city. And I think that this East Bank Esplanade to North Portland to the Kelly Point Park will be an addition that will be well worth the time and effort that we do it. The piece, I fully support this report. I was on the committee. The concern that we always have is 4 and 5. We know that. I put Greeley Avenue with the Columbia Boulevard overcrossing that we just talked about. We pushed for an overcrossing at Columbia Boulevard expressly for the purpose of allowing families with kids to get across the road safely. Trying to interact with trucks on Columbia Boulevard with a kid on a bike is not what you want to do. Even if there's an island in the middle of the road, people go down that road 50 miles an hour, they're not going to be able to stop. So we were lucky enough to be able to go for some funding and have this opportunity of having an overcrossing. That's an analogy to Greeley. I live in North Portland. I take Greeley a lot of times to come downtown because I do not go on the freeway if I can avoid it. One day I was coming down Greeley. It was a rainy day. There was a bicyclist on the western side of the road. And they are going down, it's raining, and a truck goes by and a wave of water goes over them. Now, you have to be a really terrific rider to be able to withstand something like that, and I can't imagine anybody with little kids doing that. Even if you spend a lot of money to do retaining walls and a separate trail on Greeley, you're never going to look at Cement Road again. So please, do not put that time and effort into that section, because that will just divert the attention, and we can't have that happen.
We're not going to do that.
I appreciate that. I just wanted to make that emphasis. Thank you so much.
I'd love
to hear this over and over again today, but you're not going to pursue that. I really appreciate that. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
Are Sarah Angel, Jim Kuffner, and Barbara Quinn, and they'll be followed by Susan Geer, Mark Hill, and Joe Adamski.
And to be clear, it's in the plan as an option. This is a 10% option. If it turns out that the cement road can't be used, then we will be needing to look for another option. But again, we will be doing other sections first.
Commissioner Fritz, could I also just observe that in the resolution that you're sponsoring, there's a specific whereas that tracks the recommendation of the North Portland Greenway Core Group that specifically that calls out continuing to work with the railroad on that option. So.
Yes.
That's further evidence of the commitment that you've made.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Council. Thank you for your time in receiving our testimony, our public testimony, for it concerns one of the most important but high-stakes, dangerous bike commuter routes in the city. I also...
Give us your name for the record, please.
Sarah Angel.
Thank you.
I'd also like to thank Parks for their hard work, ongoing work on this project. I'm here to speak plainly from my perspective as director of the Swan Island TMA, where at the heart of my work is to promote bike commuting to Swan Island employees. I'm here on their behalf. So hence, my focus is segment 5 of the proposed alignment study. Simply, I urge the removal of this alignment as presently indicated on East Greeley and emphatically encourage council not simply to explore but prioritize funding and building of a non-Greeley separated bikeway for this stretch. When will we have gathered enough evidence or data to prioritize this trail and specifically justify a non-Greeley alignment, one which no doubt presents significant but not insurmountable challenge? If we talk numbers, what is the right number? This morning, you will have heard testimony from community advocates, business stakeholders, those who lay out connecting vibrant communities and employment centers. They lay out the significant near-term opportunities for the interstate corridor and Swan Island, opportunities that range from improved safety, jobs access, workforce training, and imminent economic growth in trades and manufacturing. All are dependent on this piece of access. These testimonies represent a host of eye-catching numbers. For example, $150 to $200 million in investment, near-term investment in business expansion on Swan Island. Daimler's alone is one of the largest investments in the region in the last 20 years. Here's another one, Swan Island, a regionally significant employment center, now at about 10,000, aiming for 15,000 by 2020. And there are the bike commuter statistics from the area. By now, you may have heard about a certain trucking company getting attention for its record-breaking performance in the statewide September Bike Commute Challenge. These numbers, nearly 200 riders, over 22,000 miles bike during September. That's up from about 9,000 4 years ago. In first place, again, for the highest number of new riders in the state. And of course, there are the 900 gallons of gas not burned during that stretch. In all, it's an unlikely tale for a trucking company. There are other statistics here. Crash report data from North Greeley going and interstate. Among them, one fatality at Greeley and Interstate. These facts and figures warrant a case here. One fatality should be enough. Behind the sobering statistics are the sobering stories that in my job can't be dismissed. There are scores of them, testimonies from Swan Island bike commuters seeking safe passage to the island, stories of nearly disastrous to outright catastrophic. Some blunt quotes. Access to Swan Island via any other route than the cement road is the single most reason I don't bike to work now. I value my life too highly. Or, I like to bike to work, but I don't want to die or be maimed doing it. And most recently, from a Swan Island employee who bikes her two kids to the daycare center on the island, I was in an accident with my two kids last Friday when a passenger truck hit us at an intersection near going. Miraculously, we're okay.
Could you please finish up?
At this past May, one of the best days for Swan Island, a day of celebrating ribbon cutting, was one of the worst days of my job, for in the middle of the ribbon cutting for the Wad Bluff, I received a phone call from the hospital from an employee, an active member of the Swan Island bike community, in need of help. He had trouble speaking due to a collapsed lung, internal bleeding, broken ribs. Over my years on Swan Island, I'd been coaxing, cajoling, encouraging him and others to bike and to keep riding. Can I look these folks in the eye then, or when I hand over a bike trip plan and say good luck?
Thank you for your testimony. Dr. Kuffner.
Good morning. Good morning, members of the council. I'm Jim Kuffner, Assistant Vice President for Community Relations and Special Projects at the University of Portland. I'm also the university's liaison to the University Park Neighborhood Association. First, I'd like to just express my sadness at learning the news of the death of Dr. Nolan Tuhan from Portland State University. And I'm just deeply sorry that that happened. And I want to extend from the University of Portland our deepest condolences to our colleagues at PSU and to the family of Dr. Tuhan, definitely. Greetings from the Bluff. It is our just begun our 112th year of operation. We've got 850 earnest freshmen in residence on campus and full-time undergraduates of about 3,316. Some of the biggest news that happened lately is that Father Beauchamp, our president, has announced that he's resigning his position. Moving on, so we're looking forward to a new president, probably in May of 2014. But during his tenure, We've had some remarkable achievements. A newly remodeled library that we just opened, expanded engineering school, a new commons to feed all the students, a bell tower on campus, and two new dorms. Getting ready to break ground in May on a new recreation and wellness center. We completed the cleanup of our 35-acre river campus in April of this year, and we look forward to bringing that property into beneficial reuse in the near future. Our master plan was mentioned that it was submitted. I'm happy to tell you, I'm not here appealing to you to help us pass it. It was approved unanimously through the process. We had wonderful and unprecedented support from our neighborhood association, and we are actively pursuing all of the great achievements that we hope to finish through that plan. The future is bright out at the University of Portland. Mm-hmm. But I'm here today really as a member of the North Portland Greenway Trail Committee. I was proud to serve on that committee. The university has been happy to assist with the trail, not only this trail alignment, but with the Wad Bluff Trail when it was recently completed. And we think the vision and the access for connectivity in North Portland that this trail provides is going to be a tremendous uplift to all the people. I want to echo the sentiments of the people commending the work of the staff and the people who've been involved. They've really been wonderful. They've just answered all questions and have worked very hard to bring as near perfect a document to you as they could. We have concerns. I'm here to support the resolution. I do have those concerns over segments 4 and 5, but you know we were committed enough to segment 3, which involved our property, that we included it actually as a condition of approval in our master plan. So we're there. So I want to thank you for this opportunity to be here and to know that you're all welcome anytime for a visit up on the campus. Thank you.
Thank you for your support and partnership.
Jim, when the Lady Pilots win the national championship,
yes, they will,
in December,
Commissioner.
Will you come back so we can say go Pilots?
I will. Absolutely.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Quinn. I am the executive director of Friends of Baltimore Woods. And I'd like to just reiterate what our member Jim Barnes said earlier about Decatur Street. Can you see the slide that I have? Okay. That is actually our vision of how we want to see Decatur Street developed as an off-street trail rather than a built-out, 60-foot built-out auto and truck traffic street. We want trail users to have, including our local children, to have the experience of a respite from an increasingly urban environment. We want them to experience the touching canopy, the native trees, and also to see the restoration in progress. So that's been our long-term vision, and we were really disheartened to hear that there's a plan with PBOT to build the street out. Unfortunately, a good part of our hillside is in the right-of-way. So in order to do that, there would have to be trees removed, including oak trees. We only actually have 40 oak trees, mature oak trees, in the corridor, and so we're concerned about losing some of them. The city has been a great partner on this project. You have given us a great deal of money, and as has Metro and as has Solve. And we hope that you continue with your commitment to this project and help us make this route, make this vision happen. This is what we want to see happen on this particular street. We have talked to all the adjacent business owners, and of them, most of them, we have only not talked to two of them, are totally in favor of the community wish to see this dedicated street to bicyclists and pedestrians. They're, as Jim said earlier, they're using Bradford Street. So the other point I wanted to bring up to you is the 10-acre woods, which is at the very northernmost part of our project, and it's also the very northernmost part of the Willamette Bluff system. We think that this is a great opportunity to add connectivity to our project and also add that Lewis and Clark heritage and history to our project. And so we are hoping that you will support the acquisition of that particular parcel when it becomes available. And we're a little bit concerned that the comprehensive plan is declaring that a industrial sanctuary, locking it down for industrial uses, and we're not really sure how that's going to affect our project. But we're only interested in the back half of that lot, the wooded parcel that is currently not considered improved, and the whole entire 22 acres is currently for sale. So we hope that we can get some support for developing that as part of our project. It's an important part of it. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Last three?
We have four more. And we have Susan Gear, Mark Hill, and Joe Adamski. And the last person who signed up will be Scott Mize.
Welcome. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
Susan?
Hi. I'm Susan Gear. I'll try to be brief because Barbara is so much more eloquent than I am. But I, too, was very concerned. I'm a neighbor. I live on North Willamette Boulevard, and I view the future trail as a very important part of the buffer between my residential zone and the industrial part. We do have problems with odors, which, you know, the trees will help with. I've gotten to actually like the clanking sounds at night. So it's okay that they're there, but, you know, a robust buffer of natural habitat is very good. And I would urge you, in fact, to not only not develop, but to designate both that stretch of Decatur Street and the 10-acre wood, as we call it, as a native reserve rather than industrial reserve. That would be the way to go. And these steps would actually not cost anything in the budget, which we don't have funding for.
Thank you.
My name is Mark Hill. I'm a resident of St. John's, fairly new to the area, but I've been for the last 3 years quite active in the Friends of Baltimore Woods. And I'm not sure if you have a map of that particular little magnification of the map that shows the Baltimore Woods area, but I can refresh you with a copy.
Just give it to Chris.
Very good. I'm low tech.
Thank you.
I wanted to... there's so much to appreciate in this North Portland Greenway Trail plan and I'm really grateful for all that's happening. I'm asking that the plan be respectful of the place on which the trail lies. Baltimore Woods is a natural event. The lay of the land is very steep. It's difficult to develop there, and for that reason, wasn't developed. And so we have a thin corridor of nature that separates the old St. John's area from the industrial riverfront. And it's so great to see that it can be institutionalized and recognized and become an actual place. Welcome to Baltimore Woods. You're there now. And I also recognize the importance of the trail passing through it as a way that it can be preserved and recognized and respected. I'm also asking that we include the 10-acre woods at the northern piece of Baltimore Woods there, as it is. It's a big piece of land, and it allows for nature to kind of occupy it. A lot of wildlife needs space. Baltimore Woods is a relatively narrow strip of green space, but that's an actual piece of woods up there. So I think that I would like to see that the plan include a respect for that and try to include that or recognize that as part of it. In the acquisition of lands, at least the lower half of the Crown Corps concealed properties, the western half there that is undeveloped and just woods. So that would be my request, is a change in the comprehensive plan as it is now. Change it from, I think it's industrial reserve. It's recognized as industrial reserve now. Change it to nature reserve.
Yeah.
Bureau of Planning Sustainability is currently having open houses on the comprehensive plan process, so it's a good time, but that it's with planning and sustainability to get that to address that zoning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Joe Adamski. I'm the secretary for the NP Greenway Group and also a St. John's resident, and have been active in bicycle and community interests for the past decade. And I wanted to remind the council, the Bike Master Plan 2030, which was adopted by council, identified safety as probably the biggest obstacle to achieving that goal of 50% of all trips 5 miles or less, by other than driving. And wanted to remind council also, that safety and equity are probably the biggest concerns along this trail, the safety piece. Of course, with the Section 5, with the Swan Island connection. I also just wanted to remind council that any dollar not spent at the gas pump is a dollar that remains in the community. For economic development, getting people out of cars and having that option to at least part of the time ride safely to work downtown, Swan Island, Rivergate, and connect to the neighborhoods, as well as the recreational pieces. They're very important for the general health and happiness of the community. And, we're very happy the support that we've received from council and the community. And just that little proviso about cement road, I don't need to nail on that one anymore. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you for all your work on this project. Our last person
who signed up was Scott Mize.
And if anybody else wants to come to speak, now is the time. Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. As she mentioned, my name is Scott Mize. We've heard a lot of statistics today. We've heard some emotional and experienced-based testimony. Heard some great things, and I'm thankful that everybody here was able to express those concerns to the council. I just wanted to leave with one last sort of statistic or comment. I'm 39 years old right now. I came to Portland when I was 30 and started working on this plan on the North Portland Greenway Trail soon after. Worked with a lot of the folks that you heard from here today. I have a 7, 9, 12, and 14-year-old, and they and the legacy that this project leaves are some of the main reasons why I've put so many volunteer hours and now work professionally at Alta Planning and Design to build and design facilities like this all over the country. So I would love to see, by the time that I'm 49, I'll throw a 10-year goal out there again, that we will be able to ride and walk and experience this trail and all the wonderful things we've heard. So I just want to say thank you for all your work and the work of all the people in this room, and I look forward to the political will that you mentioned that is there being spent and, well, yes, and we use political will to get money. So I know that there is money in the country, and I just thank you for your support and look forward to partnering with everyone to get the money to build the project. Thank you.
Thank you. Lightning.
Morning. My name is Lightning. One of the concerns I have here is I've always enjoyed the East Bank bike paths, walking paths, but what I notice on this resolution here is that what I really enjoyed is that they actually tied in the biking, the walking, and they also tied it into the boating industry. I don't see that on this resolution, and what I'd like to see possibly is some of these areas that we have a concern on not able to work with the property owners. What would restrict us from, again, going out on the water, say using pilings and cement floating walkways, which we've done on the east side, which have been very effective in also tying that in more with the boating industry, because I know they would really love to be able to bring their boats in and tie their boats on some of these walkways and utilize these paths also at the same time and go to these various locations. And what I'm just asking is if maybe some more research can be done in that direction to maybe use these floating walkways out on the river on any areas that might be restricted as far as the property owners not wanting to use their land, because I think they've been very effective on the east side. And again, when I view the rivers is that I want to open the rivers up to the people, the biking community, the walking community, but I don't want to see the boating community be overlooked on these large-scale projects, because that is a tremendous industry that we need to take care of the boaters and have access to the boaters along this river and plan that in these developments. And I think that's being overlooked, and I'd like to make sure that this is not being overlooked. And if there is the potential to go out on the river and do these type of walkways, let's also look in that direction too. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Matthew Rogers. I work at Daimler Trucks North America. Lenny encouraged me to come up here and speak. He told me not to give my real name, but that is my real name. I frequently use the Ash Grove Cement Road to get to work. I have about 7-mile commute, and that is probably the best section of my commute. It is the safest, most pleasant. I don't know if you've ridden down there, legal or illegal or not, but it's just absolutely wonderful. It's quiet. It's peaceful, and I get waves from UP people and some of the truck drivers running through there. There is a business there that says, they've got a sign that says, it's better to lose a minute of one's life doing something safely than to lose a life in a minute. And there's some other platitudes that they have plastered on the wall there too. But when I alternatively go up Greeley or Interstate, that's always in the back of my head. I'm like, is this the minute where that comes? So I choose the Ash Grove Cement Road. So hopefully the Ash Grove Cement Road is a workable solution, and we can get to a resolution with Union Pacific Railroad and all of the other stakeholders in this wonderful project. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else want to testify? If not, we'll close the public hearing and have staff come back. I believe Commissioner Fish, you had some questions.
I guess I just, my question was more in the nature of a clarification, Commissioner Fritz. And something I alluded to earlier, you've been very clear in the segment 5 that the preferred community route is the cement road. We also know that the mayor has stepped in and offered to provide leadership. We're aligned as a council on that issue. The resolution specifically calls out that we continue to work on that. So I just want to be clear that in supporting this resolution, we're also, as it's crafted, making clear that we understand the community's preferred route and that nothing is imminent because of the funding issues that you've identified, but that it is clear enough in directing further action on exploring that option in lieu of Greeley. And I just want to make sure that that's captured, because that's one of the most important threads in the testimony. And give staff a chance just to clarify that.
I think, Commissioner and members of the council, that it is certainly our desire to have the trail closer to the river, if possible. I think when you develop these plans, though, we're being charged with identifying what is a buildable route as we sit here today. So that's why we're showing two options. I think we want to be clear that the city is united in its interest in the cement road. I would not suggest that we pull Greeley out, because we then create a gap in a trail plan. And if something doesn't happen, then we almost have to reinvent the process again. So I think it's good to have contingencies. I think it's very clear that hear from you, but that's the public's best desire, is to build as close to the river as possible, particularly through Albina Yard.
So, Director Abate, just so the record's clear, Parks and all of its partners will continue to work towards realizing the community vision on the cement road.
So absolutely.
That is the commitment. And Greeley will remain in the vision as an alternative, but no action will be taken on Greeley until at some point in the future you come back to council and we have that further conversation.
That's correct.
I would also just like to remind council that Greeley is shown